You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the joy of movement. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on the joy of movement. How exercise helps us find happiness, hope, connection, and courage, by Kelly McGonigal. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Around the world, people who are physically active are happier and more satisfied with their lives. This is true whether their preferred activity is walking, running, swimming, dancing, biking, playing sports, lifting weights, or practicing yoga. People who are regularly active have a stronger sense of purpose, and they experience more gratitude, love, and hope. They feel more connected to their communities, are less likely to suffer from loneliness or become depressed. These benefits are seen throughout the lifespan. They apply to every socioeconomic strata and appear to be culturally universal. Importantly, the psychological and social benefits of physical activity do not depend on any particular physical ability or health status. They have been demonstrated in people with chronic pain, physical disabilities, serious mental and physical illnesses, and even among patients in hospice care. The joys described above, from hope and meaning to belonging, are linked first and foremost to movement, not to fitness. The question of how physical activity contributes to human happiness is the central focus of this book. I started by scouring the science, skipping the countless surveys that show that people who exercise are happier, and searching instead for studies and theories that could shed light on why. I poured through academic papers in fields as wide-ranging as neuroscience, paleontology, and musicology. I talked to anthropologists, psychologists, and physiologists. I interviewed athletes and exercise professionals. I reached out to friends, family, and strangers and asked them to share their experiences of movement. After nearly every one of these interviews, I found myself re-listening to some part of the recorded conversation. Not just to check my notes, but because I wanted to hear their stories again. Many of the individuals I spoke with were brought to tears as they explained what movement meant to them. By the third time I found myself typing, "She teared up while telling me about this," I realized these were tears of joy, and the joy of movement is moving. End quote. That is Kelly McGonigal from The Joy of Movement. Now, I'm a big fan of Kelly McGonigal and her ability to help us apply scientific wisdom to our lives. We've covered two of her earlier books, The Willpower Instinct and The Upside of Stress. Check out those notes. So when I got this book, I knew I'd enjoy it, but I didn't anticipate just how much I'd love it. To put it in perspective, we have some great notes on movement, including Spark, Spartan Up, and No Sweat, among my favorites. But Kelly's book will be our new go-to for the science of why exercise/movement is so essential to our well-being. It is phenomenal. Highly recommended. Got a link to get a copy in the note. Now, reading about the science behind stories of transformation and how, as per the subtitle of her book, exercise helps us find happiness, hope, connection, and courage, made me that much more clear on the power of what we're doing with all of our work, focusing so much on energy, especially with our Mastery and Coach programs. And I can't remember being brought to tears so many times reading a book. Kelly tells us that, as she wrote her book, she had a corkboard wall with ideas and pictures. And I think I'm going to get my own corkboard wall so I can put these pictures, I've got a link to it, on there. It's a collection of photos from our Optimize coaches, Class 1, who finished a Spartan race with us. The pictures are astonishing. I've looked at them countless times, and every single time I get goosebumps and tears in my eyes. Like I did just typing that, feeling the power of a radiantly alive human being, having fun, facing obstacles in community, and knowing that we're capable of more than we think. Then, I've got a link to another video featuring Team Optimize, making joyful magic as the second largest team in Spartan history. We're going to come back to that. Collective effervescence is one of our big ideas we'll explore today. So we'll come back to that video in a moment. Of course, the book is packed with big ideas. And as always, I'm excited to share a few of my favorites with some wisdom we can apply to our lives today. So let's jump straight in. First big idea, hope molecules and how to make them. Quote, "One of the first things I discovered is that the most common explanation of why exercise makes us happy is far too simplistic. The psychological effects of movement cannot be reduced to an endorphin rush. Physical activity influences many other brain chemicals, including those that give you energy, alleviate worry, and help you bond with others. It reduces inflammation in the brain, which over time can protect against depression, anxiety, and loneliness. Regular exercise also remodels the physical structure of your brain to make you more receptive to joy and social connection. These neurological changes rival those observed in the most cutting-edge treatments for both depression and addiction. The mind-altering effects of exercise are even embedded in your musculature. During physical activity, muscles secrete hormones into your bloodstream that make your brain more resilient to stress. Scientists call them hope molecules. Looking at the evidence, it's hard not to conclude that our entire physiology was engineered to reward us for moving. But why would human biology be so finely tuned to encourage us to be active? A reasonable first guess might have to do with the health benefits of exercise. Perhaps the brain is looking out for the body, making sure we stay active enough to ward off a heart attack. Yet this notion takes too brief a historical perspective on the value of physical activity to human survival. Your doctor might encourage you to exercise to better control your blood sugar, lower your blood pressure, or reduce your risk of cancer. But for most of human existence, the central purpose of movement was not to prevent disease. Physical activity was how we engaged with life. As neuroscientist Daniel Wolpert writes, "The entire purpose of the human brain is to produce movement. Movement is the only way we have of interacting with the world. This is why our biology includes so many ways to reward moving. At the most fundamental level, rewarding movement is how your brain and body encourage you to participate in life. If you are willing to move, your muscles will give you hope. Your brain will orchestrate pleasure, and your entire physiology will adjust to help you find the energy, purpose, and courage to keep going." End quote. Hope molecules, love that. The first book that really sold me on the science of why exercise is so vital for our well-being is called Spark. It's written by a Harvard psychiatrist named John Rady, who provides a super compelling case for the revolutionary new science of exercise in the brain. Rady tells us, quote, "I tell people that going for a run is like taking a little bit of Prozac and a little bit of Ritalin because, like the drugs, exercise elevates these neurotransmitters. It's a handy metaphor to get the point across, but the deeper explanation is that exercise balances neurotransmitters, along with the rest of the neurochemicals in the brain. And he says, as you'll see, keeping your brain in balance can change your life." Now, I've referenced that quote countless times in my mission to sell the power of exercise as we optimize our energy. Exercise is like taking a little bit of Ritalin and a little bit of Prozac. You've probably heard me say once or twice or more. Now, I often combine that wisdom with Tal Ben-Shahar's genius line that not exercising is like taking a depressant. And I often encourage people to actually imagine popping a depressant on those days they choose not to move or exercise. Now, Kelly takes those high-level perspectives and goes deep into the science of how movement and exercise fundamentally change who we are, how we see the world, interact with others, etc. It's super powerful. Kind of like Ritalin plus Prozac times hope molecules squared. Now, the other thing I thought about as I read the book is my recent obsession with the two virtues that positive psychologists say are the most highly correlated to well-being. What they call zest, or what we call energy, and hope. The number one virtue is actually zest. It's fascinating to see that optimizing our energy zest is how we create our hope molecules. So yeah, the science of why movement and exercise is so powerful is super strong. Check out the book for more details. For now, how can you move today in a way that brings you joy? Let's get on that. Have fun. High fives to you and your hope molecules. Next big idea. How to make yourself anxious, tired, and hostile. Quote, "In the United States, daily physical activity, as captured by an accelerometer, is correlated with a sense of purpose in life. Real-time tracking also shows that people are happier during moments when they are physically active than when they are sedentary. And on days when people are more active than their usual, they report greater satisfaction with their lives. Other experiments in the US and UK have forced moderately active adults to become sedentary for a period of time, only to watch their well-being wither. Regular exercisers who replace physical activity with sedentary activity for 2 weeks become more anxious, tired, and hostile. When adults are randomly assigned to reduce their daily step count, 88% become more depressed. 88%. Within 1 week of becoming more sedentary, they report a 31% decline in life satisfaction. The average daily step count required to induce feelings of anxiety and depression and decrease satisfaction with life is 5,649. The typical American takes 4,774 steps per day. Across the globe, the average is 4,961, end quote. Now that's from chapter one, which is called The Persistence High. You know that runner's high we hear so much about? Well, it's real, only it's definitely not restricted to just runners, and it's a lot more powerful than just a few endorphins being released. As Kelly says, quote, anything that keeps you moving and increases your heart rate is enough to trigger nature's reward for not giving up. There's no objective measure of performance you must achieve, no pace or distance you need to reach, that determines whether you experience an exercise-induced euphoria. You just have to do something that is moderately difficult for you and stick with it for at least 20 minutes. That's because the runner's high isn't a running high, it's a persistence high, end quote. Now, right before that passage above, Kelly tells a story about the Hadza, a hunter-gatherer society in Tanzania whose survival depends on strategies similar to those that early humans relied on. Get this, I quote again, on a typical day, the Hadza engage in 2 hours of moderate to vigorous activity, like running, and several more hours of light activity, like walking. There is no difference in activity level between men and women or between young and old. If anything, the Hadza become more active as they age. Contrast this to the United States, where the average adult engages in less than 10 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity a day, and physical activity peaks at age 6. If the Hadza lifestyle reflects what human bodies are adapted for, something has gone seriously awry for the rest of us. End quote. Wow. All right, so all of that is worth a repeat, recap, reflection. The average Hadza is moderately to vigorously active for hours a day, while the average American is active for 10 minutes per day. And perhaps most shocking, the average daily step count required to induce feelings of anxiety and depression and decrease satisfaction with life is 5,649. The typical American takes 4,774 steps per day. Across the globe, the average is 4,961, which kind of begs the question, how many steps are you getting per day? Now, I didn't know about the fact that scientists actually identified a threshold for depression. Yikes. When we set our baseline target of 10,000 steps a day for our optimized coaches, but now I'm even more bullish on the importance of bringing attention to a simple measure of movement, aka steps. Now then, we have that study where they got active people to not move or exercise. And what happened? They immediately became more anxious, tired, hostile, and depressed. Another yikes. It's funny because having been a non-exercising and much more anxious, tired, hostile, and depressed version of myself, I've often jokingly said that you couldn't pay me to not exercise. As it turns out, the researchers conducting studies like that often ran into challenges finding people willing to not exercise. I'm not alone. So one more time, back to you. You moving? Let's get those hope molecules flowing and that persistence high rocking today. Next big idea, collective effervescence. Quote, the feeling she describes is not reserved for rowing. It can be experienced anytime and anywhere people gather to move in unison. In marches or parades, at dance classes and nightclubs, while jumping rope on the sidewalk or practicing Tai Chi in the park, or when swaying and singing at church. In 1912, French sociologist Émile Durkheim coined the term collective effervescence to describe the euphoric self-transcendence individuals feel when they move together in ritual, prayer, or work. Durkheim believed that these activities help individuals feel connected to one another and to something bigger than themselves. We crave this feeling of connection, and synchronized movement is one of the most powerful ways to experience it. The joy of collective effervescence helps explain why fitness friendships and sports teams feel like family, why social movements that include physical movement inspire greater solidarity and hope, and why individuals feel empowered when they join others to walk, run, or ride for a cure. As with the runner's high, our capacity for collective effervescence is rooted in our need to cooperate to survive. The neurochemistry that makes moving in unison euphoric also bonds strangers and builds trust. This is why moving together is one of the ways humans come together. Collective action reminds us that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, and moving in community reminds us where we belong. End quote. Now that's from a chapter called Collective Joy, in which Kelly walks us through the science of how moving with others creates a deep sense of joy and unity. And I just love this phrase, collective effervescence. You ever feel that sense of pure joy and sense of unity and family when moving with others? It's funny because I read this book right after our Optimized Coach graduation weekend that featured 500 plus of us doing a Spartan race together. When I read this chapter and the next one, which was actually all about doing obstacle course races, I nodded my head and said, yes. Why? Because we just felt exactly what Kelly describes. For example, I've got a link to an Instagram video of Team Optimize at the Spartan start line, which makes me laugh and dance with joy every time I watch it. Check it out. And so does that other video I mentioned in the intro of one we produced with drone footage of Team Optimize doing different obstacles and coming together and experiencing the collective effervescence of doing something hard together. So what's your favorite group movement activity? Let's schedule your next session of it. Hashtag collective effervescence for the win. Little PS, another way to boost your awesome, exercise in nature. Scientists call it green exercise, and its effects are astonishingly renewing, kind of like nature's reboot. Next big idea, how we endure. Quote, one of the most celebrated moments of Olympic history took place at the 1992 Games in Barcelona, when British runner and world record holder Derek Redmond finished the 400-meter semifinals dead last. An injury had kept him from competing in the 1988 Games in Seoul, and Barcelona was widely considered his opportunity to medal. If you watch a video of the event, here's what you'll see. Redmond starts strong, but 15 seconds into the race, he clutches his right leg and slows to a hop. 2 seconds later, he collapses onto the track. His first thought, he later explained, was that he had been shot in the back of his thigh. In reality, the violent pain was his hamstring muscle snapping off the bone. By the time Redmond is able to stand back up, every one of his competitors has crossed the finish line. The race is over, yet Redmond refuses to quit. End quote. Now that's from one of the last chapters of the book called How We Endure. If you feel so inspired, I encourage you highly to spend a minute watching this extraordinary video featuring Derek Redmond. Here's the quick story. After slowing down to a hop, Derek decided to continue to the finish. Then you know what happens? A man runs down from the stands and onto the track, pushing aside officials en route to Derek. That man is his father. The two of them finish the race together. Kelly tells their story beautifully, and she makes the point that why we all love that scene so much, and I challenge you to not get misty watching that video, is the fact that ultimately we endure most powerfully together. We all need each other to show up as our best, period. Seriously, go check out that video if you're feeling it. I think you'll feel it. Next and final big idea, obstacles make me stronger. Quote, so much of the language we use to describe courage relies on metaphors of the body. We overcome obstacles, break through barriers, and walk through fire. We carry burdens, reach out for help, and lift one another up. This is how we humans talk about bravery and resilience. When we are faced with adversity or doubting our own strength, it can help to feel these actions in our bodies. Sometimes we need to climb an actual hill, pull ourselves up, or work together to shoulder a heavy load to know that these traits are part of us. The mind instinctively makes sense out of physical actions. When you embrace the metaphorical meaning of movement, you can literally sense the strength that is in you and the support that is available to you. Human beings are also storytellers, and the stories we choose to tell shape how we think about ourselves and our world. One of the most powerful ways that movement can affect us is through its ability to change our most deeply held stories. Whether it's by plunging into a pool of muddy water, learning how to hold a headstand, or lifting more weight than you ever thought possible, physical accomplishments can change how you think about yourself and what you are capable of. Do not underestimate how significant such a breakthrough can be. When Aurelia Ming Senarat was in her early 20s, she was depressed, living in a city far away from her family and friends and unhappy at work. She made a plan to take her own life. The day she intended to go through with it, she went to the gym for one last workout. She deadlifted 185 pounds, a personal best. When she put the bar down, she realized that she didn't want to die. Instead, she remembers, "I wanted to see how strong I could become." 5 years later, she can now deadlift 300 pounds, end quote. That's from a chapter called Overcoming Obstacles, in which Kelly shares some super inspiring stories of people overcoming obstacles in their lives. Get this, Kelly actually uses obstacle course races to help bring the point home. There's something magical about paying to face obstacles and then joyfully going over and under and through all those obstacles to really get the fact that life is supposed to be challenging. And that, as per our OMS mantra, check out that plus one, obstacles make me stronger. Obstacles literally make us stronger. So right before we all loaded up on a fleet of buses to go do a Spartan race together, I might have given a little pep talk lecture. We chatted about zest and hope and all that. And we talked about the fact that the number one obstacle most of us face in our lives is the story about why we can't do something. Which is why Spartan Race's slogan is, "You'll know at the finish line." Know what? You'll know just how much more you're capable of. But first, you've got to get to the starting line and be willing to stretch yourself out of your current comfort zone and imagine yourself doing more than you're currently capable of. Which reminds me of George Leonard's wisdom from Mastery. Leonard was an Aikido master, and he said, "It's instructive to watch the immediate surge of clarity and energy during training that comes from the simplest act of writing one's name on a notice." In his case, it's a notice to go for the next level of belt. In our case, of course, it was signing up for the Spartan race, which makes me wonder, you want to join Team Optimize as we have fun getting our collective effervescence on, going for Spartan's all-time record with 1,000 plus optimizers doing the race together? Awesome. Join us. Cruise on over to optimize.me/Spartan. Can't wait to give you and your daimon a high five. Here's to the joy of movement and the exercise that helps us find happiness, hope, connection, and courage. Little PS here, that story about Aurelia changing her story and saving her life reminds me of an amazing woman from our program who also had plans to end her life. She decided to change her life instead. I've watched her video countless times, and each time I'm moved to tears. I've got it linked in the note. Check it out. Love you, Wendy. In PPS, whenever I think of Wendy's story, I also think of Julie. Julie is another one of our optimizers who went through the Mastery Series and Coach Program. She never thought of herself as an athlete. Check out a link to her video to see how she sees herself now. There you go. The joy of movement, how exercise helps us find happiness, hope, connection, and courage. Kelly McGonigal, our new go-to book on the why and how of why exercise is so important. Let's enjoy some great quotes and we'll wrap it up and go get some movement on. Martin Luther King Jr. tells us, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving. Kelly tells us, in 1825, poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge wrote, "Hope without an object cannot live." Modern scientists have come to a similar conclusion. Humans crave concrete goals and thrive when pursuing specific aims. She has a great passage that didn't quite make the note on the science of hope. Three things. You got to have a goal, a better future that you're going after. Specific, concrete. What are you going for? Number two, you need to have a sense of agency, a belief that you can achieve that better future, achieve that outcome and that goal. And number three, you need to have a pathway, a plan to achieve that goal, and you need to be willing to adopt multiple pathways in pursuit of it, knowing that you're inevitably going to face obstacles, and again, that obstacles make us stronger. That's the 1, 2, 3, the science of hope. Again, we talk about that all the time in our mastery series and coach programs, and it's really those programs is operationalizing virtue, with the top two virtues being zest or energy and hope. Kelly also tells us, a meta-analysis of 25 randomized clinical trials concluded that exercise has a large and significant antidepressant effect among people diagnosed with major depressive disorder. We know this, but I'm going to keep on reminding us, exercise is as effective as Zoloft and Prozac in reducing depression. Let's get our movement on. Kelly also tells us that their experiences paint a portrait of how humans maintain hope and momentum in the darkest moments. We endure by taking it one step at a time, by making space for suffering and joy to coexist, and with the help of others. Another beautiful thing about obstacle course races in general and the Spartan race we did together, suffering and joy go together beautifully along with the help of others. Kelly tells us one study track the daily movements and mood of over 20,000 adults using the GPS on their smartphones. After collecting over 1 million data points, the researchers concluded that people are happier in natural environments. And yet, typical Americans spend 93% of their time indoors, creating what some call a nature deficit. Which brings us back to the whole green exercise section that also didn't make the cut in this philosopher's note. Getting out in nature is a very, very good idea. How can you make some time for that today? Kelly also tells us, in The Lure of Long Distances, Robin Harvey notes that the word athlete derives from a Greek word for I struggle, I suffer. That was in the context of how to suffer well and using our athletic movements and exercise as a means to achieve that. And Kelly finally tells us, after that big stretch, it became easier to imagine something I had never really let myself believe. Not just that I could ring a cowbell 50 feet off the ground, but something even more reassuring. That when I found myself in a situation I didn't know how to get through on my own, an assemblage of family, friends, and even strangers might rally around me. There you go, the power of community. Once again, honored to be a part of your life, support you with this wisdom and these big ideas, and with our community. Via, again, the mastery programs, our online oasis. We're getting together on that mastery program via these Zoom calls on a weekly basis now. Join us there at one of our events, and we're so excited to roll out the local 2020. Do everything we can to empower you to become the best you. For now, how are you going to get your joy of movement on today? Get on that. Make today awesome. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this philosopher's note. Please go to optimize.me to download more.